This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Today, he's officially Senator-elect Edward Markey, a new title the former congressman seemed to relish last night in his victory speech.
But thanks to the opportunities this country gave me, this son of a milkman is going to serve the state of Massachusetts in the United States Senate.
Well, Markey defeated Republican challenger Gabriel Gomez by 10 points in yesterday's special election. But the son of a milkman isn't exactly a freshman politician, of course. He spent 37 years in the House of Representatives. So what does his experience there tell us about what kind of senator Markey may become? We put the question to Norm Ornstein, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and co-author of the book It's Even Worse Than It Looks, How the American Constitutional System Collided with the New Politics of Extremism. Ornstein began with this description of Ed Markey's 37 years in the House.
Ed Markey had a terrific career in the House. From the earliest stages, Markey was a player because he was able to use his force of personality and his knowledge of some issues to at least frame the agenda in a different way. Good example, the nuclear freeze. Mm-hmm. As Markey gained in seniority, and especially as he became a powerhouse on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, he really turned into a master legislator. And one who was able to work with Republicans in a lot of areas, from the 1996 Telecommunications Act all the way through the House passage, which was itself a legislative triumph, even if it didn't get enacted into law, of the cap and trade bill a couple of years ago.
Right.
He had a big impact, and that will serve him well as he moves to the Senate.
Well, let me ask you about that, because in part, some of these accomplishments that you were just outlining were predicated on his earned seniority. And technically, when he moves over to the Senate side, he's going to be the junior senator from Massachusetts. But, I mean, is he going to be a typical junior senator in that sense?
No, he definitely will not be a typical junior senator. And of course, the times have changed in a lot of ways so that you don't find junior senators being seen and not heard. The most recent and in this case jarring example, of course, being Ted Cruz of Texas. But the fact is, in the Senate, you don't need to have a lot of seniority to be a player. When you're one of 100, you get a lot of national attention. What will really work well for Markey is that over his time in the House, he's come to know the lion's share of senators, and in particular his fellow Democrats. They know that he has these deep veins of expertise in telecommunications, energy, and the environment. They respect what he knows about them, and he will be able to come in, and when he speaks, people are going to listen. Mm-hmm. So the biggest problem he's going to have, I'm afraid, is not that he'll be able to exercise influence from the first day that he's sworn into the body. The biggest problem is you have a dysfunctional Senate, not quite as dysfunctional as the House, where the question mark is what kinds of policies will they actually be able to get through?
Right. Well, this is exactly the question. And to a certain degree, Ed Markey addressed it. Last night in his victory speech, he mentioned, of course, the gridlock in Washington, and he made this promise to his supporters.
And I will promise you this. I will seek consensus wherever possible. Like you, I am tired of gridlock, but I will never compromise on our principles.
So, Norm Ornstein, your book is about the new politics of extremism in America. That's a very uncompromising stance that Ed Markey's taking in his speech there. I mean, how is that going to help break that gridlock in Washington?
Well, I think you can hold firm on principles while finding wiggle room, common ground, and doing a little bit of give and take. You can have a principle that you want clean energy. That doesn't mean you can't find some sort of compromise that involves an expansion of drilling, even as you put significant additional resources into alternative energies. And we've seen it play out with standing on principle that you're going to protect the elderly, but allow maybe a little bit of change in formulas and Social Security and Medicare in return for a broader fiscal solution. So I don't take the specific words, I won't compromise on principle, as seriously as whether you've got an intent to try and work through to find solutions. Mm. And the history of Markey in the House is the latter more than the former. The real question is, which of these areas can you actually bring up and get something done, avoiding filibusters or finding more than 60 votes to overcome that phenomenon? That's a problem that's a larger one than any individual senator, I'm afraid.
Right. And as you said earlier, Markey's shown evidence in coalition building, even on things as contentious as cap and trade in the past.
And there were Republicans that he and his colleague Henry Waxman were able to secure for that bill, which was almost miraculous in the context of 2009-2010.
Well, Norm Ornstein is a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and co-author of It's Even Worse Than It Looks, How the American Constitutional System Collided with the New Politics of Extremism. Norm Ornstein, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Maggie.